You know, when I was growing up, I listened to pop radio, and it seemed like all the songs were about love. Even the oldies back then. So when I was a kid, an oldie would have been like the Beatles. They sang, "All You Need Is Love." Yep, you do it right. And then later on, after they busted up, John Lennon took a swipe at Paul McCartney in the media in an interview, and he said something about Paul McCartney and his silly love songs. Well, McCartney wasn't going to be insulted by it. He went and wrote a song called Silly Love Songs, right? You'd think the world would have had enough of silly love songs. But I look around me and I see it isn't so. That's what Paul McCartney said. And then, you know, as I was a teenager, what was her name? Tina Turner sang, "What's Love Got to Do With It?" You remember? Sing it for me, Mr. Stan. Who remembers Huey Lewis in the News? The power of love, right? And I suspect, I don't know, I'm not a teenager anymore, believe it or not. I suspect that if you turn on teen pop radio today, they're still singing about love. It's universal, right? It's something we all want to go after. We all want to chase. We all want to experience. And part of the human condition, unfortunately, is sometimes that quest for love brings us places where we maybe ought not go. I think that is in some ways what might be behind folks who struggle with dependence and addiction kinds of issues. They're trying to fill some void that only love can fill. And I think the other part of that, as I alluded to earlier today at the start of the service, is that we get this concept of love that's based on things that we read about in magazines or things that we see on TV. Or the way soap operas projected, or the way the royal wedding that's coming up in 2 weeks is going to depict love. But none of that is the kind of love that God gives us through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a totally different kind of love. We hear in that story today from Acts the love of God that have come upon not just the chosen people, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Luke is the writer of Acts, and he is a Gentile physician. He's a learned, scholarly man, and he's just writing this stuff down the way he sees it and experiences it. And so he says the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. The circumcised believers, of course, are the covenant people, God's chosen ones, the Jews. And again, that's Luke's not in that number. And he's watching these Gentiles that they've been received, apparently, into the family of God, too. Why? Because they're doing something that had been prophesied in Old Testament. They're speaking in tongues. It's the sign that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And so Peter says something. He says, surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water. And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because this line right here is one of those lines in Scripture when it's taken out of context. What we see within certain small parts of Christianity is a heresy that gets practiced, which is baptism in the name of Jesus Christ only. And you say, well, how's that a heresy? Peter said it right there. So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, the thing is, when Jesus gives the Great Commission, who would agree that Jesus trumps Peter, right? When Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says, go out into all the world, making disciples, teaching them everything that I've taught you, and baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter's not saying anything that contradicts Christ. If we look at it contextually, and this is important to do when we study Scripture, Peter is actually well within the Trinitarian formula. You see, these Gentiles were God-fearing people. They understood there was one true God. The problem was they just weren't Jewish, so they didn't have the temple. They didn't have the Scriptures. But they knew there was one true God, and they wanted a piece of that God. And so their hearts led them to worship that God, and that God rewarded them by sending down the gift of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by speaking in tongues. Well, they've got two-thirds of the Trinitarian, don't they? The Godhead three in one. They've got God the Father. They've got the Holy Spirit. Now we know why Peter says baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. They need to be baptized, means immersed. They need to be immersed into the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's prophesied in Old Testament. We prayed that today in the 98th Psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song. A new song. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. It's plural. It's not just the nation of Israel. But the psalmist circles back. He says, he remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. But all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. This is for everyone, not just the quote-unquote chosen few. We all have the gift of becoming the chosen, adopted children into God's most blessed family. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through sacraments. And there's a beautiful reference to the sacraments today in that epistle reading from 1 John. There are two gospel sacraments. Now, theologically, we can argue there are other sacraments. Some traditions would say the sacrament of anointing of the sick, or the sacrament of holy matrimony, or the sacrament of holy orders. We don't need to argue whether that's a sacrament or it's not a sacrament. Everybody would agree that there are two gospel sacraments, those instituted by Christ. And that's baptism. That's number one. That's our entry into the body of Christ. That's why in many churches, including our own, when you enter into the church, you have an opportunity to stop right here and remember your baptism. Touch the holy water. If you feel so inclined, make the sign of the cross just as it would have been made on your forehead when you were baptized into the body of Christ. That's the entry, the sacrament of baptism. And then the second gospel sacrament is the sacrament in just a moment that we're going to be participating in. It's called the sacrament of the table, or the sacrament of Holy Communion, or the sacrament of the Eucharist, or the Mass. It goes by different names and different traditions, but it's all the same. It's the memorial Thanksgiving meal whereby we experience the presence of Christ in his body and in his blood. And I want to go back to that 1 John reading where I said those sacraments are present. Listen to this. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come only by water, but by water and blood. Water, the physicality of being born of a woman, literally the water that burst to bring forth from Mary's womb the Messiah. And by blood, the blood that Jesus would shed for us on the cross at Calvary, where he became the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God, offering his body, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins, so that all who believe on him can be adopted into the family of God Almighty, no matter whether you were born a Jew or no matter whether you were born a Gentile. This is wonderfully good news for us as Christians, that it's been done for us. The gift is offered to us. We need only receive the good news and to hand over everything to God. The God who built this universe, the very God who made you, loves you so much, and you heard love all through those scriptures today. And there's nothing like that love that we're going to see in the royal wedding or in the soap operas or in the magazines. It's God's kind of love. It's a love where Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary and lay down his life, being the only king in the history of the world to die so that the kingdom may live. My brothers and sisters, that's the gospel, and gospel means good news. And if you receive that good news this morning, let me hear you say amen. 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 I invite you to rise. Let's profess our faith together as it's been handed to us in the Apostles' Creed. Would you join me?